got an email this morning that raised the question, is the black church dead? I read it from beginning to end as I was going over my sermon, and I read through that entire article, and I had to come to this conclusion. If it isn't dead, it is definitely in the hospital. I'm serious. If the black church ain't dead, it's certainly in the hospital. But you know what, Blessed Hope? We can turn this thing around. We can turn it around. We can turn it around. All we have to do is be what God calls us to be. Churches are closing all around us, but God is never closed.
Amen.
God never closes up shop and says, for sale. Y'all not listening. And as long as God's word is being preached, the church will continue. Because Jesus promised us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, y'all, give God a hand praise. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It reads this way. And if you are looking for a verse to memorize for the year, memorize this one. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. That's why you don't talk about fellow Christians. Y'all didn't hear that. Let me say it again. That's why you don't talk about fellow Christians, about what they ain't and all this. You know why? We're his workmanship. You say, yeah, but you ain't right. But I'm his workmanship. So you got to take it up with him. We are his workmanship. Yeah, but so-and-so ain't been to church in 3 or 4 Sundays, but you better be careful how you treat them, because we're his workmanship. Amen. We're his workmanship. We need to treat each other like we have been made by the hand of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not church works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. Who needs grace? Question is, who don't need it? Everybody needs grace, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in the world. You know, there's over 6 billion people on this planet, and every last one of them needs the grace of God, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're Jew, whether they're Gentile, no matter what, we all need the grace of God. In fact, the most important message that can come out of the pulpit other than the cross is grace. Other than the cross is grace. If you go preach about grace and you'll be all right. You can't get that wrong. Hallelujah. We all need the grace of God, and none of us, let me say this, can get to heaven without it. Amen. I don't care how good morally or ethically you may be. I don't care who your mother or father is in somebody's church. I don't care what denomination you are and whether or not you speak or manifest tongues or some prophetic utterance. Listen to me, without grace, you're not going to heaven. You say, Pastor, is it possible to speak in tongues and go to hell? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. The pygmies over in Africa speak in tongues. The Hindu prostitutes speak in tongues in the Hindu temples. Tongues is not something that's just unique to the church. Thank you. A lot of cultures speak this glossolalia thing. But what I'm trying to say is this. We're going to put tongues and all these manifestations over here, and let's get salvation right. Because manifestations aren't going to save your soul. Salvation will. And that's what we stand for here at Blessed Hope Bible Church. Salvation. Transformation. And let somebody else play around with manifestations. And let God manifest a new life. Amen. And a new attitude. Amen. Not just all this other stuff that we like to get off into, but a new walk. Yeah. Let them manifest some love and some peace and some joy and glory. Some perseverance and some strength and some faith. You want a manifestation? Manifest that. I'm just trying to, ever since I've got that email about is the church dead, I feel the need to do some correction and some teaching to bring us back to what really matters to God. Amen. It's not all of this that we done got ourselves off into. It's that transformed life, y'all. Yes. And it can only be achieved by the grace of God. Who needs it? We all need it. But why do we need it? Why do we need it? Number one, because we're sinners. Number two, because we're broken. Number three, because we're blind. And number four, because we're lost. I once was talking with someone from a specific denomination, and I said this in a teaching: we are sinners saved by grace. And they chastised me, saying, "No, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm saved and I don't sin." So talk about yourself when you say, "I'm a sinner saved by grace," because you're not referring to me. My denomination don't believe that. We done heard that. We don't teach that. And then I took them to 1 John chapter 1 and I said something like this: if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. And the truth is not in us. Let me tell you the problem with that for that person who doesn't think they're a sinner. John was talking to Christians. That letter opens up with being to people who believe, not to unbelievers. He wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to us. That's why he said, and the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to say in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, talking to Christians, he is faithful and just. That means he is dependable and he is fair to pardon and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're sinners, y'all. Look at Psalms 51:5. I was brought into this world in sin. In sin, my mother gave birth to me. I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. The moment I came into this world, I was a sinner. I was spiritually stillborn, if you will. I didn't just simply decide one day I'm going to be a Christian, or I wasn't a Christian all my life. I was a sinner separated from God. And we need to understand what a sinner is. I preached on this last week, but I don't think we give it justice because we don't really fully understand the weight of what it means to be a sinner, because we don't understand the price of what it took to make us free. It took the blood of Christ. That's why sin's expensive. How many of you know sin is expensive? Sin is expensive. Sin is more expensive than holiness. Sin is expensive. You don't believe me? Watch some of these folk walking the streets up here. Sin is very, very expensive. That's why it cost God everything he had, his son's life, Jesus Christ. Sin is expensive. What is a sinner? A sinner is someone who has never received Jesus Christ into their heart. Period. You don't have to add to that. A sinner is someone who has never received Jesus Christ into their heart. Well, is it possible then that a Christian can be a sinner? A Christian can be a sinner in that they are susceptible to commit sin. Yes. Absolutely. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, committed at least one sin in your life? If you committed two sins, raise both hands. So you're a sinner. But you're not separated from God. So in terms of your condition of being eternally separated from God, that doesn't belong to you. But you still sin. You still have weaknesses that you're trying to overcome. You still have battles that you're trying to fight. Why would Paul write 1 Corinthians or Colossians or Galatians talking about the need for the Christian to go against the flesh if they didn't have no problem with the flesh? Amen. Why would Paul write such a thing? Let me tell you what he says about himself. We're broken, y'all. Go to the next one here. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 7. We're broken. Romans 7, 18b through 20. And this is where a good translation comes in very handy. If I read this out of the King James, it would be like playing Twister with your mind because the words would be so convoluted. And insert your name in the pronoun where it says I. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. Somebody say amen. 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 I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things I do not want to do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let me read that again. I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things I do not want to do. I want to go to Bible study, but I don't. You know why? Because I don't do the good things I want to do. But I do this, and this, and this, and this. And let's not get into naming sins, because sin is sin. We don't need to get into alcohol, internet, drugs. No, it's all sin. From the little white lie to capital murder, sin is sin is sin. But you know what? The things that I don't want to do, I do that. Verse 20. So if I do things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is what? Sin. Living in me that does those things. Guess what? Who's Paul talking about? Himself. So who is he referring to? Christians. But it also pertains to sinners. Let me tell you the difference between a Christian and a sinner in this context. A Christian can overcome this. A sinner don't have no choice. A sinner can't stop sinner. A Christian can. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Yes, this is the situation we're in, but we don't have to stay that way. And if you read the rest of chapter 7, Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. See, as a Christian, we acknowledge this condition exists. We're broken, and for the sinner, they will stay broken until the blood of Christ washes away their sin. But for the Christian, you ain't got to stay broken. You do not have to start or finish, rather, the year 2011 the way you started it. Man, I came into this year and I brought a couple of things with me. You can let them go. Because of the grace of God. That's why we need it, because we're broken. But I thought grace fixed me. It fixed you for heaven, but you're still living on earth. You're right. It has fixed heaven. It has got you out of hell. But it hasn't got you off the planet. So you got to still wrestle with those appetites and those agendas that you brought into the kingdom of heaven that try to make you something that you're not, declared by the word of God. In other words, to try to make you live like a sinner when God calls you a saint. You got to wrestle with that stuff. And you got to keep on wrestling, and you'll wrestle with it until the day you die. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's why we need grace. As long as you're saying I'm this and I'm that and it's all about me and I don't need all that grace, and grace is for wimps. You know what? That's a person who doesn't have a clue how messed up their life is. You show me an arrogant Christian, I'll show you a Christian ready to fail. Pride comes before a fall, my friends. You need to understand that we should all humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us when in his time and not our time. But how do we do it? By grace alone. We need grace not only because we're sinners and we have a sin nature. I had another well-meaning officer in a church come up to me saying, we ain't got no sin nature. Then what's Paul talking about? Look at verse 20. He says, not me, it's the other me. That's what Paul, it's not me, it's that other me. called sin, it still is trying to take me out. You know why? Because we have a sin nature, a natural, organic propensity to rebel against the word of God. That's why it's hard for you to go to Bible study. It's hard to have a quiet time. It's hard to tithe. It's hard to worship when you don't feel like worshiping. It's hard to go to church. I know folk who got up this morning and asked if it was snowing outside, and the sun was shining. You call them Baptists, I call them broken. I thought I'd get a lot more mileage out of that joke. The sun is shining, and you, ooh, let me see if it's snowing. Are we having church today? Because the sin nature wants to be accommodated, it wants to stay in bed until the store is open. That's called a sin nature. You don't do exactly what God's word told you to do. Neither do I. And the reason is because sin is on the inside of us, but we break that idea, that doctrine down, and we say, we're broken. We're broken. And it is in the brokenness of our lives that God wants to bring healing. But you know what? I want to tell you something today that you need to get right now. If you don't get nothing else from this message, He will not heal you if you don't want to be healed.
That's right.
I don't care how much you shout and do all that other stuff. And all that's good and fine. And worship is wonderful. And certainly I love worship. But I want you to understand something. I just don't want to keep worshiping Him and staying broken at the same time. Fix me. I got to be fixed. At some point, staying the same because it becomes an unacceptable part of my life. I don't want to stay the same. I know that I'm a mess. Paul puts it this way. There is no good thing that lies in me. That is my flesh. My flesh is at enmity with God. In other words, it is in opposition to the will and work and word of God. That's why it's hard to read the Bible and easy to read XYZ magazine. That's why it's easier to look at Oprah than it is to look at the word, because the flesh gravitates to those things that agree with its nature. And it disagrees with those things that opposes its nature. And when you open the word of God, you may find out something about yourself you prefer not to know or keep hidden. But the word of God tends to do something. It exposes. And broken people struggle from one level or degree to another because they don't understand. They're broken. Here's the other point I want to leave with you regarding being broken. The first, of course, being you will be broken as long as you want to be broken. The second point is just as significant. And listen to me very carefully. You need to know when you're broken and when you're not. See, some of us think I'm evil. See, that's the devil's accusation. And you need to understand there's a difference between being evil and a difference between being broken. And the distinction is one of cause and effect. You do evil because you're broken. Brokenness is not evil. Evil is the product of brokenness. Oh, I'm so evil. No, you're not evil. You're broken. And because you're broken, you do bad stuff. Most of the time, self-destructive stuff. How many of you have pushed the self-destruct button in your life before? The rest of you haven't. How many push that self-destruct button and hurt from it? It don't feel good, does it? You pushed it because you're broken. You pushed it because you're broken, and I'm broken, and we need healing in our lives. So we need to understand, number one, you'll stay broken as long as you want to. And number two, in your brokenness, you need to know when you are. You say, Pastor, how can I possibly know when I'm broken? That's the easiest thing to teach you to do. Here's the acid test. Put a challenge before yourself as to what you want to do for God. this week and see if you could do it. Well, okay, I haven't been to Bible study in 2 years. I'm going this Wednesday. And then when you don't show up, I want you to write these words. I did not go to Bible study again because I'm broke. For some of us, and we can go on. I don't want to talk about people. You know why? Because we're all in the same boat. But put a challenge before yourself to stop doing something you hate doing. And if you can get there, God has healed you. And he wants to keep you on that level and even grow you. But if you have it, then you guess what? You're broken. But here's the good news, and that's okay. He said, what? I said, that's okay to know you're broken. What's not okay is to refuse the healing power of God in your life. See, I don't mind broken people because I get along very good with them. You know why? Because they're not snooty and all uptight and full of ego. I love broken people. That's why I love working with the homeless, because I know that I'm going to be working with some real folk. I love working with ex-offenders. You know why? Because I know that everybody who's an ex-offender will have their Bible when I teach every fourth Monday at Mission Gate. I don't say, hey, if you got a Bible, they got a Bible. It's the church folk that I have to have a screen, you know, a big screen, because they ain't brought theirs. But if you go to the prisons and if you go to the homeless and you've given them a New Testament and you go back the next week and say, hey, I'm going to be looking for so-and-so, they got it in their pocket. Broken people who know they're broken are also, watch this, and this is a life principle, and this could alter your destiny in terms of the life you're living today if you let it. Broken people are hungry people. And God is looking for hungry folk. And if he can break you, and some of you, God will break. Why? To make you better. You got to get this. See, this is not what you're going to hear. You're not going to turn on your TV this evening and hear this message. God will break you if he is trying to improve on the product. To make you hungry for him again. And I am a living witness. I don't need none of y'all to say amen. I can look in the mirror and I can recall the day he broke me just so he could bless me. Up until that moment, the windows of heaven had closed. But when I lost everything in my life, God say, are you ready? Am I ready? I was opening up the church. Hallelujah. We're broken. We're also blind. Isaiah 59:10. We're like the blind, feeling our way along a wall. We feel our way as if we had no eyes. In the brightness of day, we trip as if it were night. And you know what? That's sad. Blindness in the Bible is a type of sin. Bible students, you need to understand that. As you read your Old Testament in particular, you come across something called biblical typology, in which symbols are used to speak to theology. Blindness and leprosy are types of sin. And when you're blind to the way of God. And what causes blindness? Let me tell you what causes blindness. Pride does. Selfishness does. Sin does. All the stuff that we allow to fester in our life, it will make you blind. And you groping around, Lord, what's your will? What's your will? You know why you don't know his will? Because you're blind. Why are you blind? Because there's something that God is trying to tell you. Get the sin out of your life. Amen. And I'll show you what you need to do. I'll show you what you need to do. Some of us don't want God to show us what we need to do because we don't want to know. We want to be blind so that we can be able to have an excuse for why we didn't do what God told us to do. Well, I would have done it, but I didn't know. You didn't want to know. Well, God was calling me and I kind of sensed it, so I kind of hid. So I didn't want to know his will. I'm talking to somebody today. You're trying to run from the will of God, and the will of God is chasing you down. It's self-imposed blindness. So you can have a justification. Man, I would have did what God told me, but I didn't know. I didn't want to know. He said, why didn't I want to know? Because you didn't want to yield. And why come I didn't want to yield? Because my flesh don't like that. That's why. He said, what's the will of God? To take your flesh and nail it to the cross? so that Christ lives and you die? John puts it this way. He must increase. But I got to decrease. We flesh don't like to hear that. John the Baptist's disciples said, John, what about your cousin Jesus over here? He baptizing more folk than you. Aren't you a little jealous that that church across the street growing faster than your church? You know what John said? Fellas, he must increase. I must decrease. I was once asked by a very, very beloved Bible student who said, Pastor, does God work miracles today? I said, absolutely. He says, well, I read the book of Acts and I saw this and I saw that and I saw this. I don't see that today. I said, let me give you a hint why. If you had men today who could do what those apostles did back in the day, they'd be competing against Jesus. You'd be trying to figure out who are we worshiping? Why did the miracle cease? Why did this happen? They did not cease, but God has reserved them in such a way to make sure that he gets the glory and not man. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, I know somebody who can work miracles. Give me their number and tell them to meet me at Christian Hospital. I'm talking about doctrinal blindness in the church. Is the church dead? If it's not dead, it's in the hospital. And you know what it's suffering from? One of its conditions is blindness. Because we're blinded by this idea that people can just walk up and do all these miracles. All I'm saying is this. Consider this. If you can work miracles, you'll never have to ask for a dime for your ministry. You'll never hold a telethon. I done made somebody mad. Well, get ready. Look. If you can do this, then you don't need a telethon. Because all that health care money, guess where it's going now? Out of the hospital and into your ministry. Say, Pastor, that's so not true. Then you need to read the Old Testament where Elijah healed a man by the name of Naaman. Elijah was a broke preacher. Reminds me of myself. He was a broke preacher. Always preaching the word. That's why he was so broke. King didn't want to hear him. He wasn't in the king's palace with all those other prophets. Out in the desert with Gehazi. Old broke preacher. Tells Naaman, who rises up with all this money and his entourage. Naaman says, tell Elisha to come lay his hands on me and do a dance and this. And Elisha stayed in his tent. Elisha was a brother. I'm guarantee you that. I know he was because he had a little bit of soul. He had that attitude. Elisha was a brother. He was a straight up brother. He says, tell Naaman to go dip in the muddy pool down the street and he'll be all right. Naaman had leprosy, by the way. Naaman got an attitude. Don't he know who I am? He need to get out of his tent. Come lay his hand on me and do some things. And then tell me to go back and get in a nice pool. And his servant said, Naaman, if he told you to go up this mountain, would you do it? Of course I would. Then why is it so hard to go dip in the mud? We'll wash you off after you finish. So Naaman, with his little attitude, this shows you, and I'm trying to teach you, and I thank the brother who sent me that email this morning. This sermon I know is a little longer than you like, but I feel the burden of correcting some messed up theology in the church. Did Naaman believe that God could heal him before he was healed? If he did, why didn't he voluntarily go? He had to be convinced to go. I want to teach you something. It was only after his servants told him, just do it. Just get in the pool. We'll wash you off after the mud off of you. Just get in the pool. Naaman, after the seventh dip in the pool, They clean him off, all muddy and stuff. And he's thinking, hey, and he looked at his skin. It was brand new. I want to teach you this principle to correct some messed up theology, in particular in the black church. You don't need faith for God to heal you. I got so many scriptures for this. God will heal whoever. You need to read from Genesis to Revelation. God has healed some really messed up folk. Naaman had no faith. He said, well, how was he healed? There was a man named Elisha. If somebody says you don't have enough faith, let them know. But you got faith. So you can heal me. See, that's the difference between what the Bible teaches and what you have heard. Some have told you that if you got all this faith, you can be healed. I am here to tell you this. That if God decides to heal you, he is going to heal you. Whether you believe it or whether you don't. You want another scripture? In the book of Acts, man at the temple gate begging. Peter said to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man gets an attitude. That's why Peter had to take his hand. That's why we got to read scripture carefully. Why did Peter take his hand? If the man knew he was healed, he could have got up by himself, but he didn't want to get up. Y'all not listening. If God decides to heal you, he don't need nothing from you. You say, Pastor, why? So that you don't say, because of something I did. Oh, no. Let's fix some stuff. God don't want a bunch of saints running around saying, my faith. Look at what my faith is. He don't need you to do that. He don't need you to do nothing but be sick. He'll do the rest. And then you're like, my God. He gets the glory. He don't want no saint walking around. Boy, but I believe he don't need you to say nothing about what you did all up in his house. He don't need you. He don't even need you to speak. That's why Peter had to take him by the hand and pick him up. He felt, y'all was right. Because the anointing was in the apostolic authority of those men of God. Does God still heal? Yes, he does. But I guarantee you this, when he does, he's going to make sure who gets the credit. He's going to make sure that your bank account doesn't get the glory. Y'all not listening. Y'all, I know you don't like it, and I don't care. Listen, he's going to make sure your bank account doesn't get the glory. He's going to get the glory when he heals you of cancer. He's going to get the glory if he heals you of diabetes. He's going to get the glory. Your bank account is, he's not here to increase your bank account. You want to increase it? Get an extra job. But he's not here to heal, so he increase your checking account so that you can drive in a Rolls Royce. He is here to glorify himself because we are dust. He is God, unseen, invisible, immortal, immutable. Let no flesh glory in his sight. He don't need you to do nothing or say nothing. Just be a mess. That's what he needs you to be. Be a mess and let him fix it. Then woo! Black folk are blind. Why Jamestown is empty and West County Mall is full. Black folk are blind. That's why we steal from each other. And preachers could take money from somebody who about to foreclose on their home, promising them that God ain't going to let them foreclose, and then all this other foolishness because we're blind. We're blind, y'all. We spend more time in church than anybody, and we're broker than anybody. Why? Because we're blind. Self-imposed blindness. And we're blind because it feels good. It feels good. That's why we ain't done nothing about it. I'm just trying to help you see that God is bigger than sickness and illness. And he doesn't need the flesh to touch flesh to do nothing.
That's right.
He don't even need you to go to church to heal you. He heals sinners. I'm a living witness. My stepfather had a 4-inch cancer in his colon. And we called upon the name of Jesus. And I lived at the hospital. One night he almost died right in front of me. I was there. And I saw him going down. I called the nurses and they had messed up the medication or something. I said, Jeff, what would have happened if you wasn't there? If God didn't give you the grace to see what was going on. And he healed my father. No cancer. My mother's right here. She knows what I'm talking about. She knows what we went through together. And she'll testify. I sent her home and said, let me do it. She'll tell you the truth. To this day, he is still not saved. You think a miracle will make a person go to church? Bring up the next slide, bro. You think if I lay hands on you and you all of a sudden get $1 million, you gonna go to church? I'm glad miracles don't happen the way they used to. I'm gonna be honest with you. Think if you just heal the blind, everybody go run in here and they gonna stay right here. You know what they gonna say? They're gonna say, and what else are you gonna do? And then you gotta now jump through another hoop. And then guess what? They're going to come back again. And guess what you got to do? You got to jump through another hoop. And then guess what's going to happen? You got to jump through another hoop. Am I preaching too long? I want to thank that brother for sending me that email about the church being dead. I want to fix something else. Go to the book of John at home. I want you to read the entire chapter. To prove what I'm trying to teach you this morning. That's right, Pastor. Jesus fed 5,000, really about 20,000, with 5 fish, 2 loaves of bread. Y'all remember that story? The people, after they ate, wanted to make him a king. He had to get into a boat to escape them because his time had not yet come. And he went over to the other side to get away from them. In just one miracle, he had a mega church of 20,000 folk in his congregation. The people heard he crossed over. Guess what they did? They crossed over looking for Jesus. And when they went over, guess what? Guess what they were really looking for? Hey, you got some more fish? You got some more bread? Hey, Jesus, remember what you did for me yesterday? Check it out. I need another hookup. Jesus said, I'm the hookup. I'm the bread you're looking for. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. You'll never hunger again. His church went from 20,000 to 12. You know why? Because he wouldn't jump through hoops. That's why black church, and I want to speak to the black church globally. Listen to me, those who hear this message on the internet, especially black Christian, stop chasing miracle snake oil folk. Stop chasing that stuff. You don't need a preacher to touch you for God to touch you. You can go to him yourself. You don't need nobody. Don't go to no healing convention. Your healing convention is your living room. We are a kingdom of priests. God calls us to be a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a chosen generation, that we show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You can go to God by lay your hands on your own sickness. You don't need to call nobody or get a handkerchief from nobody. You can allow God to be God all by himself in your life, in your home, in your relationships, in whatever it is you're going through. You want a night of hope? You don't need to go to the Savage Center. Night of hope. You need to go to the cross. Because we're lost. Look at this. We've gone astray, y'all. We've gone astray. We're lost. We know where the Sabbath center is, but we don't know where the cross is. We know how to get to that night of hope, but we don't know how to get to hope. And those who went to the Sabbath center, they went broke and they came home broke. Because it is not the Sabbath center that will bring you salvation. It is grace. Which leads us to this question. Who needs grace? Bring up my final. Who needs grace? And you'll notice that it's blank. You know why? Because that's where your name belongs. Amen. You need grace. I need grace. We need grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. You know. You need grace. So what you gonna do? It's time to quit playing. It's time to get off the entertainment bus and get on the grace bus. It's time to stop living for the sensationalism of church and start walking the walk of holiness and righteousness and faith and truth, those virtues and those values that really are a part of the Christian journey. This message is not going to fill this church, but this message will get you from hell to heaven.
Amen.
This message is not going to increase the bank account of Blessed Hope Bible Church, but this message will unfold the riches of God's grace. His grace tells us about ourselves. His grace shows us that there is not a better way, but an only way. But this is what I love about grace. His grace gives us the power to believe that if we trust him, he will answer. That's why Paul puts it this way: when we were without strength, when we didn't have enough sense to believe, God came and stepped in. See, we think we did it. You ain't done nothing, my friend. I know you like to put your name beside God's name, but you ain't did anything. Your name don't belong on the text. You didn't do nothing. God found you. You never found him. God chose you. You didn't choose him. God loved you. You didn't love him. This morning, on this day, I want to ask you a real question, and I'm not here to judge you, please. But I need you to do something right now. Just bow your head, please, everyone in the building. And listen to me carefully. If you know you need salvation, God's grace is available. And this is what I'm asking you to do. I don't want you to get up in your seat. I don't want you to come up and grab the mic and cry all over the place. But if you're needing a Savior, there's only one that's available. And his name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. You say, well, Pastor, what do I need to do? And I need to pray some long prayer. Let me tell you, you want to be saved right now? Let me tell you. If you believe the message that you have just heard, there's only one thing you need to do, and that's lift up your hand either hand and say, I need a Savior. I see you, my friend. I see you. Who else? I want to be saved. Lift your hand so God can see it. We're going to come and pray for you. We're not going to have you stand up or do anything else. We're going to come and pray for you and pray with you. I want all eyes closed in this building. Lift your hand so God can see it. In the name of Jesus, and just pray with you right now in the name of Jesus. I want just pray in the name of Jesus and offer Jesus your heart. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to come and pray for you. Who else? Just lift your hand so God can see it. We're going to come and quietly pray with you. Nobody even knows you lifted your hand because their eyes are closed. So lift your hand and God will move in your heart. Already you're saved. You're already saved. Who else wants to be saved? Raise your hand so God can see it. Don't be ashamed to say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need him. I see you. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Who else? I see you. Hallelujah. 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 Who else? Who else needs a Savior? Raise your hand high so God can see it. Stop being ashamed of your need. You don't have to stay the same. Who else? Where are you right now? Where are you right now? Where are you right now? God is in the saving business. Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could stay a sinner. He died on the cross so you can be free. Lift your hand just like this and we'll pray with you. Nobody's going to do anything in threatening you or try to take down your name and email. We're here to help you understand your need of a Savior and get it right. Right now with God. Right now. Right now. Is there one more? Is there one more? Lift your hand so I can see it and we'll pray for you. I'm going to make one more call now. Listen to me carefully because this don't take no long time, y'all. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand and let me come pray for you. I got some other ministers here who can pray, and I mean pray, and they will work with you and pray for you. Is there one more here who says, Pastor, please have somebody pray with me? Let me do it right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't shame yourself away from God. The worst thing you can do is reject the love of God. That is the biggest sin. If there is such a thing as big sins, that would be the greatest sin you could commit. The greatest sin you could commit is to reject a love that can set you free. Is there one more? I want you to raise your hand just like this. I'll raise my hand with you. I want all my preachers to raise their hands like this. My ministers too. Raise your hands like this. So now you're not by yourself. Hallelujah. Just lift your hand just like this. Don't be ashamed. Can I see the hands of that person who says, me too? Where are you? Where are you? My deacons, my brothers, hallelujah. See, you got other folk raising their hand to show you. You don't have to be ashamed. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Final call for you. Final call to you. You're not the no good sinner. You're the broken vessel that God wants to heal. See, that gospel done got old too. Guilt tripping you into manipulating you to do some foolishness. You're broken. Me too. Me too. And I'm telling you, I'm one broken vessel trying to help another broken vessel. I'm one beggar showing another beggar where to get some bread. Ain't nobody better than you up in here. Ain't nobody better than you. That's why you can lift your hand and nobody's going to go, mm-hmm. Can't nobody do that. We all a mess, y'all. All of us are the patient in the same hospital room. You ain't got to be ashamed. But be a witness. You got to be a witness and you got to say, I need you, Lord. Where is that hand? Where is that heart that will say, it's my turn? It's my turn. It's my turn. It takes courage to do it. And God's grace will give you the rest. Where are you? You want to be free? Lift your hand and be free then. Don't keep your hand down. You want to be free? Lift your hand like me. You want to be free? Want to be free? Grace is here. Grace is here. Grace is here. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord for those who gave their heart to Christ. We're not going to do a whole lot of stuff with this. But I'm going to do something in the month of March. In the month of March, I'm going to have something called Express Family Pass. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? I'm going to teach you everything you need to know to be a part of this church and God's church. Amen. On a Saturday in 3 hours. Mm. And I'm going to feed you too.
Come on.
I thought that, I mean, that's my hook. Food. Amen, Pastor Tony. Donuts, bagels, whatever you need. Everything, I've sent some stuff to Pastor Metcalf. We're going to put together a program. Everything you need to know about being a member of this church and the church of God.
Amen.
And then we're going to give you a certificate. And I want all the members of my church and those who desire to be a member and those who've never been through an orientation or a power orientation in which the love of God is going to flow and the anointing of God, and you want a real, real type of experience in which you feel like you're family, you come too.
Amen.
And bring your friends too.
Amen.
We love you and we thank God for you. God bless you is our prayer. Deacon Swan will come at this time to lift up our time of offering and worship.